All right, hello and welcome back to Daily Sales On Demand for CEOs. And I am excited today to have a conversation with my new friend, Karen. And Karen is a former corporate dropout. So we definitely have that in common. And just has a really cool story as to how she's built an amazing agency, leveraging her existing network. So welcome, Karen. We're so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure. Love these conversations.
Absolutely. So tell everybody kind of who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Karen Morales. I'm the founder of Marketing Magnet, a boutique ad agency in Boston. And my experience was really working at some of the largest agencies in the country. So I worked with Publicis and Omnicom and supported brands that you've heard of like Delta Airlines, McDonald's, Progressive Insurance, Fidelity, Santander, you name it, many, many brands. And I decided, much like most people that follow this journey, that I loved what I did, but I hated how I did it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working. At the point where I was looking to leave, I had a child who was struggling. I was having medical challenges and I was going through a divorce. So it was untenable to be on the road all the time and be on call in the office whenever I needed to be there. So right. It was the best choice at the right moment.
Yeah. And you know, I think we're so lucky to live in a space where we have that option. So talk to me about kind of the prepper. Cause I asked you this before we pushed record, like you were doing the work a little bit on the side and then eventually had a cool opportunity to jump ship. What did that journey look like? And like, kind of how long did you try to do both?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It was funny. I think this happens a lot of times in long careers. You start forgetting what it is you like about the substance of the job, and you start climbing the ladder to get to promotions or new levels you know, of income even. And I felt like I was doing that, but it was really the basis that I loved about the agency was I love solving problems. Mm-hmm. And I love solving the hardest problems. So I was kind of known in the agency world as the fixer, kind of the Olivia Pope of marketing, one might say. If you had a really hard client with a terrible team dynamic and a very hard to figure out problem, like I was your girl. Like I was called in for the problem accounts, not the fun and sexy big creative opportunities, right? So when I was thinking about leaving, I was thinking I was going to leave advertising and marketing overall. But I had a friend come over one day. It was New Year's Day in 2016, told me about her startup. And I couldn't stop the ideas. They were flowing out of me. I was so excited. And I remembered it wasn't necessarily that I didn't like what I did. I didn't like how I was doing it.
Right.
So that changed everything for me. And I said, I could be excited about marketing again if I could work for clients that really did want to change and grow and we could do it together versus me taking these proverbial Fortune 500s and trying to like turn the Titanic. It's a really hard thing to do as an outside agency is to get people to change.
So very true. And when I saw, I actually worked in the startup space in marketing. So I actually came up the other side of it and it was fun. It was like, here's an idea. And they're like, cool, let's try it. You know, here's another idea. Cool, let's try it. You know, which I know is not at all your experience.
No, I mean, it's so different. These big organizations, the most successful brands, I mean, you could have a good idea and it could take a good 12 months to implement. Right. I mean, by the time you're implementing these ideas and these campaigns, it's almost like the atmosphere and the cultural norm, the consumer intelligence could have shifted. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things I set out to do at the very beginning when I started my business was I want to solve problems and I want to get hired not as an agency of record. I want to get solved as a hired gun to fix something.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a big difference when you can sell outcomes. Your business sort of sells itself.
I dig that. And so since, you know, obviously your exit and building this exciting, fast-growing agency, you've been partnering up with other folks exiting Fortune 500 to execute for your clients. So how big is your team now?
Well, my team changes. So right now we have about five people that work in various capacities. Some are, you know, full-time every day and some, you know, come in and out for projects. And sometimes we scale up to even about 12 are on my list of people I pull in for projects. I've had more people on staff in various times, but it was hard with COVID. We found a lot of people had to pull back. I had a few people resign from bigger projects simply because they couldn't balance what was happening at home and what they were needed for their job. So the good thing is I can scale up and down. And that is a benefit, I think, to myself and to my clients.
I dig that. So a lot of your folks are working with you on contracts, and then sometimes it's full-time. Yeah. So how big is the full-time team?
The full-time team is about 4 people.
Okay.
And again, that does change. I just, you know, got a call about potentially pulling somebody else on for a more full-time role. So you never know. It's very variable. But I think one of the things I was so proud of is when I set out to start my business, I don't know if you had the same experience. I was thinking of myself as more of a consultant. Mm-hmm. I was going to sell myself versus sell a set of services and sell a team. And it very mm-hmm. quickly shifted, much faster than I anticipated, as client projects grew bigger, much faster, and I needed to bring people on. And I think one of the best parts of that early business, my first 3 hires were women that had very similar experiences than I had, which it wasn't working in corporate mm-hmm. America. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get 3 women to leave full-time jobs and start working with me and my agency in the early days. And that was, I think, one of the most beautiful parts of the equation.
I love that. And so let's spend some time talking about team. Cause as we shared sure. before, you know, we pushed record, you and I come from the corporate world where team is yeah. one, right? Like you said, you never set out to be like a 1-man band. Like you were aware that, you know, there were different gaps and stuff that you were going to need to fill, and you don't want to work all the time because you could have stayed put if that's what you wanted. So why do you think that business these days, like a lot of people struggle with the idea of team and hiring team?
I think people make it harder than it really is. I mean, I think when you think of I am a manager or I am an operator of an organization, it can feel like a hard label for some people to live up to. But when you think about your life, there are many roles in which you play a leadership position. So I think of it that way, and you are really as strong as the sum of the people that you're with. Yeah. There are things, and I knew this from working in agencies because I always managed huge teams. I am an ideas person. I'm a strategic lead. I am not your attention to detail person. Mm-hmm. If I have to be in the weeds and being into that level of minutia, I'm annoyed. Right. So I always staffed my team with a number 2, with the chief operating person underneath me who loved the details.
Right.
And didn't want to have to think on their feet and pivot a million times and deal with a lot of the personalities or the emotion, which I thrive off of.
Right.
So I always make sure that I stack my deck with people that have skills that aren't mine. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing in my home. I think one of the bigger things that you go through when you're going through a relationship change, right? And as a mother, being with children and running a business, I mean, I outsource parts of this home job that I don't like. Yes. And I did that from the beginning. And honestly, it's never been easier to be right. in the home environment, because I don't waste time on things that I do not enjoy. Like, sure, there's always parts of life that we don't enjoy. But, you know, the things that are easy to outsource, I do.
I love what you just said, which is I don't waste time on things I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so powerful and so important, Karen. And I love how confidently you say that, because there's a lot of women, you know, brings up all sorts of emotions, right? Like, I'm supposed to like cleaning my house, and I'm supposed to like, you know, putting dinner on the table.
Who made that rule? I never liked cleaning my house. I never will like cleaning my house. There's always 1,000 things I'd rather do than clean my house. And mm-hmm. honestly, that's a great question. Someone posed this to me early on in my journey. Ask yourself, what matters to your kids? Like, if you're thinking about that, my kids don't care who does their laundry. They just want to have clean laundry. They don't care who puts the food in the fridge. Right. They just want to have food. So, I mean, it is very privileged for me to be able to say I can afford to do these things. I understand that. And I know a lot of people can't, but there's different levels of what people are willing mm-hmm. or what they want to outsource. I mean, I like planning trips. I like managing my finances. I like dealing with all of the children logistics. And those are things I will never give away. I want to be the one helping study for the test or proofreading the essay. So I don't, that's the stuff that I want to save my time to do. Right. So I'm always present in those moments.
I love that. And I think that's so important. And yes, I mean, obviously it all comes with a certain level of privilege, and we're super fortunate to have the choices that we have. But yeah, there's like this, and I see it in business, to bring it back to business, where there's like this pride in like, I wear all of the hats. And I'm like, in the beginning, hell yeah, we all wear all of the hats. It's just the nature of the beast. But once you have the cash to start making different decisions, you should, because wearing all of the hats is not, it gave you another job, right? Like, for, I guess, you and I coming out of corporate, like, I didn't leave my corporate job to give myself another job where now I've got more responsibility, right? But one of the things that you said before we pushed record that I want to talk about was, sometimes you have to hire before you're ready. Like, you made your first full-time hire in the business before you were ready. Can you talk about that and what went through your head, and how were you able to, kind of make that happen and take that leap of faith?
I mean, we're all wired in different ways. And I would say a lot of my decisions in all aspects of my life are based on gut. I have an instinct and I follow it. And a lot of times in other people's view, it may feel like I'm doing things impulsively or quickly, but when you know, you know. That's how I feel. And that's guided me my whole life. So in this particular moment, I was about 5 or 6 months into my business was my paying the bills and paying my salary. And I had a lot of organic growth quickly. So when it was like July 1st, I said, hey, I'm starting a consulting firm. And by July 5th, I was doing business meetings and had revenue. So it was amazing because I had a very big network. So I wasn't stepping into a new industry. So a few months later, I had this opportunities in the hopper. Nobody had said yes yet. No one had signed on the dotted line. But I realized if I didn't have an assistant, someone dedicated on the day-to-day basis, on top of all of the contractors that I would hire as graphic designers or copywriters or anybody that is a true expert of industry, I wasn't going to make it. And I ended up putting in an offer for my first employee to go through the end of the year. And I didn't really know if it was going to work with the salary. I mean, I was like, I'm going to have to continuously make more money to make this happen. And this was like a real salary. This wasn't a $20 an hour position. This was what an entry-level marketing person would get in a big agency. So it was big for me. And it was the best move I ever made because I couldn't have grown quickly as I did if I did not have that person in place.
Yes, it's so true. And we get so hung up on the cost, right? Like, oh, it's going to cost, and how much the salary is going to cost, and how much of my time is it going to take me for me to, on-ramp this person and do this work. But like you said, I mean, had all those projects popped, you wouldn't have had the time anyway. So, I love your mindset on that.
Yeah, I think one of the best mindset switches that I had came out of pain, honestly, because it was the year prior to starting my business was like the hardest year of my life. And at that point, when everything fell away, we had financial, health, children, relationship, work, all those stresses hit at once. As I was trying to work through, how do I take a life that just blew up? Every possible thing is different right now. How do I get through it? I switched my mindset. My mindset was of survival and of getting through. So I became open to this idea of, if spending money and investing now will make this a little bit easier, I will do it. I will do anything. I will do any program, any training module, any self-growth. I invested more in myself in 1 year than I have invested in my entire life. Wow. And yeah, I went into debt for that. But in that moment in time, I'm like, survival is important. And I know this is going to get me to a better place. So I did it. So entering my business after that season of growth and transformation and feeling so much better, I didn't have that same fear or that same hangup that a lot of people have in, I shouldn't do this.
Right.
I gave myself a lot of permission. I probably took it too far because there's certain investments that I made in my business in that year that I'm like, didn't really prove to be successful.
Sure.
But it was a very helpful exercise and I don't regret it. I've paid it all off. It's fine. And I've learned better questions to ask.
Right.
There's two things to balance. There's, can you use outside help to get you there faster, coach, a technique, someone who's done it before. And then there's that other side of balancing of, have you really vetted this and you're not doing it from a place of scarcity and nervousness? Because sometimes when you're in a fear-based moment, you're willing to grab at any life raft.
Yeah.
And that's when I have made a couple of poor decisions in who I've invested with, because I wasn't coming at it from a place of confidence and moving there with better grace and ease. I was coming at it like, let me get this person to help me fix it.
I feel all of that. Like I totally get there. And I was just actually talking to a member of my team yesterday where I spent a large portion of 2020 in that space where I kept thinking the answer was outside of myself, right? And it was like, oh, I just need to buy this program, or we just need to tweak this thing, or we just need to do this thing. And then like finally coming back to like, no, you have all the parts and pieces. Now it's time to implement. And so it's the way that you describe that is beautiful, right? Where you're like, hey, but I don't regret it. Same thing where I'm like, yeah, you know, we spent a lot of cash on personal development in 2020. And some of those investments were better than others. But, you know, at the end of the day, we come through it and we learn, and it helps us make better decisions for investments, for team, for all of the things. So I just love kind of your confidence in taking that leap of faith. Let's just, before we wrap up, I want to kind of touch on the sales piece, because you guys have grown primarily through referral. Is that correct?
All through referral. Amazing. I haven't done any paid campaigns. Mm-hmm. Speaking is positive for me. I usually, that's a good method, but I think the important thing there is I had a track record. So I had previous relationships and I had 20 years in this industry. And one of the things that was always innate for me that I never tried to do or to brand was I just relate to people and get to know them as humans, not mm-hmm. only through their work, but what their kid's name is, they like a dog, where do they go on vacation? I've just been like that. I listen, mm-hmm. ask questions, I care. And because I'm a little ADD, I would always, you know, get a little bored in the meeting and take it off track to find out more about the humanity. So it was easy for me to use those relationships mm-hmm. to grow. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing when you're using a referral-based sales strategy, and this took me a while to learn, is figuring out what makes something feel successful for the end consumer, and what is the thing that will erase the positive experience and change that kind of historical narrative on what actually happened. So what I found was the shorter projects that we do that have a very defined start and end point, where we say, this is what I'm coming in to fix, and this is what success will look like, and I keep the project shorter and tighter, we did so much better with referrals, because the minute it was like, oh, Karen, can you do this too? And can you do this? And can you do this? People start to forget what you've already accomplished.
Right.
And as the teams grow, it gets a little diluted with the focus. So from a referral standpoint, it's always been better for me to come in, do one project, get it done in 1 to 2 months, and then have them give me a new one, right, versus keep taking on more and more and more.
I love that.
Interesting. From a sales perspective, it was a switch to say, like, we're just going to finish this. We're going to wrap it up with these KPIs. We're going to show you what we did, and then we'll move on.
Mm-hmm. I dig that. And what I love about this and about this conversation, because obviously, you know, we teach sales and sales is our jam. Like, there are so many cool ways to grow businesses today. Right? Like there's no limit of how to do it. But it all comes back to what you just said, was it's about humans. And I think that somewhere automation got a little out of hand and we forgot about people. Like we forgot about like, yeah, you know, Karen, tell me about your kids, right? Tell me about, you know, one of the first questions I asked you when we jumped on, where are you from? Right? You know, and creating that human to human connection. And sometimes we put our blinders on or we get so obsessed with the sale and this and that, that we forget about the human to human connection. And I feel like you can never lose as long as you view everybody on the other end of all your communication as just another person. Right. And I think that that's so important. And I'm sure that's attributed to your success. So Karen, this has been a super fun conversation. Where can people connect with you if they want to see the amazing work you guys do as an agency?
Sure. Love that. Karen Morales is my name, and my agency is Marketing Magnet. So marketing-magnet.com. Mm-hmm. I also have a podcast called Momentum Magnet. You can find it on any place you listen to your podcasts. And this was really fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Thank you.